Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. Minutes matter. I say it over and over and over again here on the show, but for good reason. For great reason. When the number one reason people give for lack of exercise is time, when you say that minutes matter, that should be exciting. And more studies are supporting just that. I'm not just saying it. And I'm going to bring you a recent study that supports it. And this is great news. This is what I hammer home over and over and over again here on the podcast for good reason. And what I wrote in preparing for this show is, you know what? One of the primary goals of this show is, and my work in general, is to overwhelm you with the evidence. Not just give you the studies, but overwhelm you. Because it's not one or two or three studies that's going to convince most people that it matters or that it's true or that something works, but I'm going to overwhelm you. We're already hundreds of shows in. And for those of you who have listened for a while now or have listened to a handful of shows or more, you're hearing the same themes and for good reason. And you know, I've said this before many times myself. I study the same things over and over again as well because it takes time to understand certain concepts or to grasp them. And yes, I am back in school and will probably be in school for the rest of my life. I love studying. I love learning. Harvard Extension School, my third class. Stress, coping, and resilience. And in last night's lecture, the professor said the exact same thing. Someone asked a question about something, and the professor said, you know, I said it to you, I gave it to you in several different ways for the same reason I am giving here, that it takes different ways of hearing it and many times of hearing something to grasp it. And that goes for today's show. Small study, but supportive of all of the other ones that are similar. And over time, there's not one study that is the be-all, end-all, but it's the aggregate. You start to say, wait a minute, maybe there's something to this. And you take the studies, you take the experience, you take the anecdotal, you take what you can do, you put them all together. And there are the answers. There are the solutions that are quite often the simplest to grasp, but the hardest for most people to do two things, to embrace, to believe, and then to put into practice. Because you've had it hammered home that you have to go to the gym, that you have to do an hour, that you have to lift like a bodybuilder, that you have to deprive yourself and go on a restrictive diet. None of that is true. None of that is true. And if it were true, we wouldn't be in the state we are in right now. More people than ever before are members of gyms, but we are heavier and less healthy than ever before. Multifactorial, of course, but going to the gym, exercising for an hour, doing that three times a week is not the solution. It's part if you want to, but it's movement and it's minutes that matter. And that's what this study will show you. So excited. I say that every podcast because I get excited to keep bringing you information that is going to help you better your life. And this study, right after this break. We'll be right back. And we are back. Titled this show, More Evidence, Minutes Matter. Could call it Even More Evidence, Minutes Matter. Yes. Plug for my book for good reason. It's called The Micro Workout Plan, 5-minute workouts that you can do and should do throughout the day. And yes, you can stack them, as I call it. You can make it a 10-minute or a 15 or a 20 if you want, but you don't have to. And this research supports why. So, yeah, I've been a proponent of micro workouts throughout the day. Not only a proponent, it's what I do. Do I go to the gym? Sure. Less and less. I work out more and more at home. And at 52, I'm making movement a priority rather than getting to the gym 3 times a week and doing that vanity workout that I did when I was 20. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to be injury free. And I want to live a long life. Those are the goals, as they are for many of you. So let me just say, yeah, you know, for years, you've heard what? And I've given this advice. Park farther away. Take the stairs. All those little things that you go, ugh, ridiculous. Come on. And I've said it before here on the show. You know, I contribute to many different media outlets, TV, magazines, newspapers, and gave that advice for years. And what did I hear back from editors? Yeah, wait, you know, give us something different. And I got it. You know, you got to come up with new things and exciting things to get people to read. But people aren't doing it. People aren't doing it. They're not parking farther away. They're not taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Vividly remember living in New York City, Grand Central Station, looking at an exit from Grand Central Station up to the, you know, from the subway up to the station. And there is escalator and stairs. Long line of people waiting for the escalator. Not one person on the stairs. Extreme example, but commonplace. And that goes to this study today. More evidence that minutes matter. And this is about cardio, and it's about sitting, and it's about diabetes and blood sugar and metabolic health. All really important factors and things in our overall health and wellness. So here it is. Study that is in the American Journal of Physiology and Endocrinology and Metabolism, 2021. Recent. American Journal of Physiology, Endocrinology, and Metabolism, 2021, title, 3 weeks of interrupting sitting lowers fasting glucose and glycemic variability, but not glucose tolerance in free-living women and men with obesity. This study, the researchers' goal, they say, we aimed to determine whether interrupting prolonged sitting improves glycemic control and the metabolic profile of free-living adults with obesity. What do we hear all the time? Sitting is the new smoking. As I do this show, I am standing. I had 2 chairs in here for myself and a guest. I got rid of them, and I never used them, which is why I got rid of them. But I'm standing right now. But yes, according to, you know, one research outlet, adults in the United States typically sit for what? About 6.5 hours a day. And that's average. And that's sitting. That's not sleeping. That's throughout the day. And by and large, that is uninterrupted sitting, which is what this study goes to. So you're not moving. And we were not programmed to do that. Our bodies are not programmed to be stationary like that. We were born to move. We were born to run. We were born to run and to walk and to move. So this study, small study, 16 people, 10 women, 6 men, 44 to 53 years of age. As I said, obese with body mass index of 32. So just outside the range. And they were fitted with, I love this, continuous glucose monitors and activity monitors for 4 weeks. So I love this because this is where technology is coming into play and helping immeasurably. And I think I talked about it a little bit. You know, I get pitched products all the time, and they are now pitching continuous glucose monitors that have been for diabetic people for the most part for decades now. Well, they've as long as they've been around at least, and now they're pitching them for healthy people. And I wore one for a while, and not going to get deep into that, but it's all about glucose, right? Our blood sugar and things like that. And so technology working for this study, so they are wearing the glucose monitors and the activity monitors, and they had a one-week baseline period, right, to see their baseline numbers, and then they were put into groups, randomized into either a habitual lifestyle group, that's your control group, they're not going to change anything, do what you did, and then one they called the FABS group, frequent activity breaks from sitting. I love the acronyms in these studies, right? And that's the intervention group. And so every day for 3 weeks, between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., the FABS, frequent activity break from sitting group, received a smartwatch notification. Love this. And we know this, right? Certain watches will do this if you sit too long. And now the research is telling you why. So they received this notification to break from sitting and just do 3 minutes. And I say just, but I'm going to qualify that, as many of you know who have listened to other podcasts of mine. I say you can't say just and only, but 3 minutes of low to moderate intensity physical activity. Walking stairs, walking around, jumping jacks, whatever they wanted to do, 3 minutes of low to moderate intensity physical activity. So twice an hour, 3 minutes, 6 minutes total every hour. When they looked back, when they checked the activity monitors, the FABS group, the ones that are moving every half hour for 3 minutes, they increased their steps by about 744. That's not a huge amount. 10,000 steps a day. Did a whole podcast on that. Where did that number come from? Why are we shooting for that? You'd be surprised. And if you missed that one, you need to listen to that show. But what I do talk about in that show, there are many people who are doing 3,000, 4,000 steps. So to increase to 10,000 out of the gate, ridiculous. Not going to happen. Not consistently, too much. So 744 median steps and 10.4 minutes a day. Walking time. Okay, walking time, just over 10 minutes more and 744 steps. So what happened? Well, the glucose tolerance and the average 24-hour glucose curves didn't change, not affected. You go, I don't know what that means. You don't have to, but didn't change. But their mean fasting glucose levels and daily glucose variation reduced in the FABS group. Not huge amount, but I'm going to talk about that, but enough to be significant. A modest benefit for glycemic control, and that's important. And HDL, the good cholesterol, increased slightly. Not huge, but slightly. And that's the message of this show. Amongst many others, it's small changes done consistently over time that bring moderate results, but when those results are aggregated, huge, huge results and sustainable results. 3 minutes every half hour, that's it. And so many other things, I would argue, that weren't tested, weren't looked at, will come from that break as well. Cognitive. How you feel physically. So many other things. Mood, psychological, other things. But the bottom line is, not crazy. They didn't lose 30 pounds. They didn't lose 3 pounds. But it's all connected. And it's about movement. It's not about going to the gym. And it's not about running 10 miles or doing an Ironman or a marathon. And it's those small changes over time that add up to big, big results. And yes, what this research also showed, those who took more steps, even more results. So if you want to do 4 minutes or 5 minutes, you're going to see even greater results. And so again, the takeaway under free living conditions, right? Frequent activity breaks from sitting lowered fasting glucose and glucose variability. So also not just fasting glucose. So fasting glucose is, you have that tested. I just did a show on that. You know, when you go get your physical and you don't eat and they test that. And glucose variability, how much it varies throughout the day. And so what is, let me real quick, fasting glucose. When you fast, you have a hormone called glucagon that's stimulated, and this increases plasma glucose levels in your body. If you don't have diabetes, your body produces insulin to rebalance the increased glucose levels. People with diabetes either don't produce enough insulin to rebalance the blood sugar, that's type 1 typically, or the body is not able to use the insulin effectively enough, that's type 2. So when you test blood glucose, people with diabetes have higher blood sugar levels, significantly higher than people who don't. So glucose is important. Variability, now that's even a little bit more complicated. Study I looked at real quickly, though, give you a tiny bit from that. Glucose variability, glycemic variability. This study, glycemic variability, adverse clinical outcomes, and how to improve it. And so real quickly, glycemic variability, defined as an integral component of glucose homeostasis, is emerging as an important metric to consider when assessing glycemic control in clinical practice. Although it remains yet no consensus, accumulating evidence has suggested that GV, glycemic variability, representing either short-term with day-to-day, between-day variability, or long-term GV, was associated with increased risk of diabetic complications, hypoglycemia, mortality rates, and other adverse clinical outcomes. Scientific, you know, a lot going on there, but the bottom line is it's probably a good idea for us to control these things. It's probably a good idea for us to have our fasting glucose in a healthy range and the glycemic variability in a healthy range. And by getting up and moving 3 minutes every half hour, it has a positive effect. And what, yeah, you know what? Final break. And then I'm going to give you the takeaways. We're going to wrap it all up. All right. Final break. We'll be right back. Yes, every show is my favorite show to do because they all are just what this study is about. More ways, more small changes you can make to better your life. And there are no small changes because that's how you achieve a lifetime of behavioral change and healthy results. We need to have a complete paradigm shift, which is what this show is about, getting away from the extremes. Extremes are easy. You know, deprivation, it's easier for short duration. Diets, it's easy to tell you, as I say frequently, can't have any carbs for, you know, 2 weeks. And then you're slow, you know, then you can. You're going to see results. You're going to flush your body of water. No, teach me, teach us, teach you how to enact these smaller, modifiable, not life-altering changes that don't alter your day-to-day, but alter your health in enormous ways. And this is another one of those ways. We need to move, move, move. That's the takeaway. Don't beat yourself up because you're not going to the gym. Don't beat yourself up because you're not doing an hour of exercise. Don't beat yourself up because you're not doing a half hour continuous. 3 10-minute bouts of exercise has the same effect as one continuous 30-minute, and you're more likely to do it. How about doing 10 breaks throughout the day at work? Get up, walk around every half hour. Small changes. Did a whole show on the acronym NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. All these calories you burn by fidgeting and just moving throughout the day, enormous. It's one reason I burn more calories than most. It's not just the running and the swimming and the biking. That's some of it. But if I run for an hour, it's about 600 calories. But if I'm standing and moving and constantly on the go, that adds up much more over time. You cannot outrun, out-exercise your fork. And so this is why in my book and in this podcast, I give you those micro workouts. So let's say you do what this study suggests and you get 6 minutes of cardio every hour, especially if you are in one of these sedentary jobs. But what then if you also added in maybe 2 to 3 minutes of core exercises? And you can put that in place of that 3 minutes of cardio. And what if you did a minute of push-ups and maybe a minute plank? And what if you did a 2 mile walk in the morning with your dogs? I often talk here about the Blue Zones and that series of books and studies on people who live a really long time and high quality of life. They're not going to the gym. Not to say you can't and shouldn't. I mean, we are combating this 6.5 hours of sitting, so we need to do other things. So when people say, well, we didn't evolve to go to the gym. Yeah, we didn't evolve to sit for 6.5 hours either. So, you know, we have to do things that we might not have evolved to do along with the movement. But it's not the be-all, end-all. You can go to the gym 5 days a week for an hour at a time, sit all day. Not good. Not good at all. So we need to do both or a combination thereof. But this is another show about overwhelming you with the evidence that minutes matter and that it's a lifestyle and that the more you move, the happier you will be. Again, the psychology not studied here in this study, metabolic health, sugar control, it's psychological, it's physical, it's all connected. And also doesn't take into account hunger and the ghrelin and the leptin and that connection to glucose variation throughout the day. So it all adds up. And there you go, enough. Don't need to go on any longer with this. Another study. Let me give you that title one final time. 3 weeks of interrupting sitting lowers fasting glucose and glycemic variability, but not glucose tolerance in free-living women and men with obesity. By the way, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Final thought. Can't see it on the scale. Didn't talk about weight loss, not even involved in this. But in 3 weeks, 3 minutes every 30 minutes made a difference. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, reach out. Tom H. Fit is Instagram and Twitter. Questions, comments, I answer them all, put them in podcasts. Appreciate it. And I love more and more success stories. People who are taking this advice and applying it, figuring out how it works for them and seeing results. Because it's not a matter of if, but when you make these changes over time where you will see results. No end date. No end date for these goals. You can also reach out fitnessdisrupted.com. Email me through the site. As I mentioned, newest book, The Micro Workout Plan, goes to all this. And that book is filled with myriad studies on exactly what I'm talking about, plus more. Short workouts with strength training, short workouts with cardio, short workouts with cognitive benefits, on and on and on. All right. Remember, there are three things we all control. How much we move, which is what this episode is about, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. And that is awesome. I'm Tom Holland, exercise physiologist, certified sports nutritionist, and someone who wants you to live your best life. Thank you for listening and believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.